They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it? Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time, featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs. Yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now?
Here we go, a Friday. We got all sorts of things happening on XL Primetime. Welcome in, 2 o'clock hour. Happy to talk some Jaguar ball with you as we are inside of a week. So that means by this time next week, you're dialing up the text line, talking to XL Primetime about the number one overall pick. Will the pick come at 17? Will your Jacksonville Jaguars have moved up Thursday night? Will they move back? Will they move out of the first round? I kind of doubt that. But we got all sorts of possibilities. And we got a first rounder that's going to be popping in Devin Lloyd. We're going to say hello to him coming up here in just a few moments. And he's a guy that, you know, he was a first round draft pick. And a guy that now that Ryan Nielsen is coming in, they're expecting a lot from him. An attacking type of defense is what we are hoping for with your Jacksonville Jaguars. So welcome in. Let's talk Jaguar ball. Let's talk about all the possibilities that are going on chatter-wise around the National Football League. And I tell you, there's so many different views, especially coming out of the Jaguar luncheon yesterday. Did Trent Baalke give us more than maybe you thought he would give you in terms of clues as to where this football team is going to go? Did Doug Peterson give you anything that makes you think they might be going in one direction or another? Was it all just kind of fluffy answers with not a whole lot of meat to it, Maddie? Or did they try and take you with the scent in a different direction than they're planning? We don't know.
I'm still trying to negotiate this in my head, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you're looking at trading up in the top 10 to get a receiver you want, okay?
Yeah.
And before we go any further, I get the contract stuff, okay? So don't hit us on the text line and scream about contracts.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna move up, which is going to cost you your one this year, which is 17, it's probably going to cost you your second this year, which is 48, and then your one the following year.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you're going to give up a one and a two to move up and get a receiver that you may or may not make it in the league. And you don't want to give away a one this year, just a one, to get Brandon Ayuk,
mm-hmm.
who has proved himself in the league,
mm-hmm.
who is an ascending player.
But you can't help but bring
it's a little strange, that's all. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it, that's all.
Well, I honestly, the only way I could wrap my mind around it is the dollars, okay? You can't tell me don't talk about that part. You can't tell me don't bring that part of it up because that absolutely has something to do with it. When you think about a guy that is going to be costly as soon as he steps in with a contract, that's for sure. You definitely have to make sure that you've got a contract and you're giving up a first rounder. So we got one of our dudes, Devin Lloyd, that's going to be sitting down here in just a few moments, and we'll say hello to him and talk about the decision this team's made so far and what that defense is going to look like.
So you talk about money.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, the players are going to get the money.
Yeah.
I mean, you find a way to play him. That's the way I look at it. You find a way to pay him. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to say, okay, well, hey, this guy's worth that and that guy's worth that. If he's out there and he's playing, he's proving it,
right.
Pay him.
Well,
you got to find a way to pay him.
It's funny because I go and I'm taking a look right now at the Philadelphia Eagles and the money that they decided once they signed Devontae Smith to a $50-plus million guaranteed contract. They now have Jalen Hurts on the hook for 51, Saquon for 12.6, A.J. Brown for 25, Devonta for 25, and Dallas Goedert for 14. Guess what? That's $50 million in that wide receiver room right there. And
yet somehow they continue to win and go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's odd.
No, I'm just saying that they made that big swing, and now they have two $25 million guys inside that wide receiver room. Now, I'm looking at a first-round draft pick in Devin Lloyd, so let's just go ahead and say hello to him.
Actually, two.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
We forgot, sir. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know, he already jumped on me. He comes into the meeting. I mean, he comes into the office and says, you got the wrong U shirt on. See what I'm saying? Too early in the morning for that kind of stuff. You see, real you. See what I'm saying?
There
too early in the morning for that.
Well, welcome in, man. Lean into the microphone. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Lean in if you can, because yeah. I think you're a little too high up for that.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, man? I'll just tell you this. That chair was raised up for a cornerback in Aaron Beasley that was in here earlier,
uh-huh.
and now you're the linebacker, and you're towering above it.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, scoot you down. It's yeah. not going.
We'll get that bad boy
make it work.
Working. But hopefully you'll be able to hang out with a couple segments with us and just talk some Jaguar football. But you know, really, we'll do all the draft discussion because that's what we do.
Uh-huh.
But you spend a minute or two to set us up and You Jaguar fans can hit the text line 641-1010 if you got a question for Devin Lloyd. But how has it been coming out of the offseason and now reporting and getting everything rolling again?
It's been great. This was a really good offseason. My second one, I really enjoyed this one even more so. I think last year I was just recovering for the most part and getting the mind, body, soul right. But this one, you know, I was able to attack it a little bit more right off the bat, finishing the season a little bit healthier. Took a trip to Turks and Caicos. That was really fun. And then really just been attacking it, honestly. But it's been a really good offseason, and getting back now with the guys, it's always kind of like, you know, first day in school, and then, kind of ramping back up into how things normally are. So it's been a good first week, good productive first week. We jumped right into it, you know, with workouts. So we're getting after it, but everything's been good so far for sure.
Now, Devin, I remember when I played a long, 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 long time ago.
Not that long ago.
I remember how frustrated, it took me a while to get over the fact that I didn't win a Super Bowl. Because you got to remember, there's 31 second place teams in the NFL, and there's only one champion that holds in Lombardi. Yep. And that used to bother me in the offseason. And I would carry on this funk for a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, and then, you know, I could get back to action. I mean, does that affect you that in any way as far as, you know, watching the Super Bowl, knowing it's not you, missing the playoffs, and then saying, you know what, you know, I need to get over this and kind of get back to work?
Of course, yeah, it bothers everybody. We're all competitors. We're all frustrated, especially how our season ended. But in general, when you're not the ones playing in the Super Bowl, when you're not the ones in the playoffs and you're watching other teams go out and, you know, do what you want to be doing, it's frustrating. You know, I know some guys don't even watch it. I love ball, so I have to watch it, you know, and then obviously just, watching to see, you know, what they were doing, you know, that we didn't have going this season. But yeah, it definitely eats at you, but it also is motivation as well. You use it as motivation. You lose it as a way to kind of just fuel you into the off season. And, you know, I know some people take some time off up until the end of the Super Bowl. I started, I kind of put my training regimen around the Super Bowl, because we plan on being there next year. So kind of getting your body, acclimated, to playing that long throughout the year. But yeah, it definitely as a competitor eats at you.
Yeah. Sure.
So, Devin, I spoke to a lot of players about this, and Leon and I were talking about this on the air about a week ago. In college football, you know you can get away with things. In the NFL, the margin for error is almost nothing. How difficult was that to learn that and to process that once you got in the league?
Yeah, obviously in college and, you know, depending on, you know, where you play at, what conference, you know, you can get away with being a little bit more athletic. But, you know, when you get to the NFL – everyone's athletic, so it's really, you know, mentally, you know, you got to be dialed in. But then also, you know, you can't make, you know, mistakes. You know, I think mistakes are just a lot more glaring in the NFL than in college. You know, it's about discipline, really, in the NFL. But that's the NFL for you. You know, you got to do your job. And you know, we're talking about the best of the best in the world. So, you know, you wouldn't expect anything else.
Devin, when I was in the league, I was a stickler for – being a student of the game, which means that I used to watch different guys in the league and what they did well. I pulled what they did well and wanted to put it into my arsenal. Is there any particular players that you not admire but respect their game and you watch film on them and say, okay, I need to put that in my game plan?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a lot of linebackers. I pretty much watch all the linebackers throughout the league. You know, Fred Warner actually – you know, had a really good conversation with him the other day. You know, I watch a lot of his tape, been studying him since, you know, he was at BYU. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was coming out of high school, he was playing a position that I thought I was going to play in college, didn't end up playing that. But, you know, I've been watching his game for the longest. Obviously, Roquan Smith, you know, he's balling. Both of the Jets linebackers, CJ and Quincy, you know, I think they're great. I mean, I watch all the linebackers in the NFL. Obviously, you know, my game is different than everybody else's. You know, I watch outside linebackers as well. You know, really just trying to take what I can. But you talk about being a student of the game. That's something my dad has always preached to me. Even before I started playing football, you know, when I was a basketball player, you know, he said, you know, if you love it, you're going to be a student of the game. And, you know, that's something I've always been.
Absolutely.
If you've got a question for Devin Lloyd, you can hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010, first-round draft pick. One of the questions I'm immediately seeing on the text line, and you knew you were going to be asked, is Ryan Nielsen. What's it all about? What is his defense like as far as the attitude, kind of the ideas that he has?
Yeah, attack and aggressive. I know, you know, if they've watched their interviews. Yes, they've heard that, and that is exactly what we hear in our meetings as well. Very intense guy, but also very genuine. You know, really appreciative for him as a coach and as a human being. You know, what he's preaching in our meetings and even outside, you know, it's the little things like going to sit with us when we're at lunch. You know, it's all the little things and just being, you know, a genuine person that wants us to succeed. You know, that goes a long way. So I'm really excited to continue working with him and the whole coaching staff. You know, they're very similar. Matt House, I love his intensity as well. I'm super grateful to have him in the building and, you know, just be a sponge. You know, I want to learn as much as I can from him. He's obviously had some experience. You know, he had mentioned, you know, he has been through a 1-15 season in the NFL mm-hmm. and also won a Super Bowl in the NFL. And,
yeah.
You know, that, you know, is very diverse. And, you know, I'm just excited to learn from him. You know, they brought the right guys. You know, shout out to Trent Baalke, obviously, and Coach Peterson as well, you know, bringing – these coaches in. I know I'm personally excited to work with them, and they're saying all the right things, and I know guys on the team feel that way as well.
So when you were in college, Kyle moved you around to put you in the best position to affect the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that happening now? Is it a possibility that you could be more of a guy that can rush and be put in those situations?
Yes. We have different fronts compared to, you know, my first 2 years that, you know, I'll be on the line of scrimmage more, so you can definitely, as a fan, anticipate that, and you know it'll be similar to college. You know, we're primarily off the ball, but still have some plans. You know, to move me on the ball more so, especially more so since you know I've been here in Jacksonville. But those are definitely the plans.
You're bigger now. I mean, you clearly look bigger. Where are you right now?
Yeah, I put on about like 12 pounds and 6 pounds of muscle. We just went over the DEXA, so a little over 250. So I want to be playing around 250 this year.
Ooh, wow.
Nice.
Wow.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad to hear that because I definitely thought this past season that they didn't blitz you in the Iluacon enough. I mean, because you're both big, fast, and athletic. And, then, you know, I played on Steeler teams where our linebackers came cross dogs, stunt dogs, and all that kind of stuff because they could effectively run. I absolutely. And you put on what, 12 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep, well, yep. Let's do it.
You're going to be bringing it. Bring it low now, man.
Definitely looking forward to that. And, you know, I know he has been watching my game, Coach Nielsen, since college. So, you know, I'm sure he has a vision of how he wants to use me. And we've talked about it. Me and Coach House have talked about it. So I'm really looking forward to playing in this defense this year.
And you don't have to give away anything right now, but when we look back at the numbers and Nielsen, Coach Nielsen was the one who brought it up, nobody had more than 7 sacks in a Falcons uniform last year, yet the team loaded up on a bunch of sacks. You know, back to Cerse's point, Foye only got turned loose a couple times. You only got turned loose a couple. So can you visualize pressure on a quarterback coming from every different direction?
Yeah, for sure. He's going to move guys around. And obviously with the addition of guys like Eric and, you know, I mean, Trayvon and Josh are obviously still here, going to do their thing. And Roy, AG, we got a whole bunch of guys that can rush the passer. D-Ham, he's going to utilize all of our skill sets to the best of our abilities. That's how I envision it, linebackers included. So, you know, I'm sure he's got multiple more ideas that we just started putting in scheme. So we haven't talked too much in depth, but I'm really looking forward to what he has planned.
We got a really cool question from the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Does the new hip drop rule, is that a bother?
Yeah, we'll see how they call it. I think it's going to be more fines than calls and penalties, I'm hoping. But it's obviously frustrating. It's the offensive world we live in, so, you know, they're trying to protect the offensive players. I think
it's making it harder and harder on you guys.
Just makes it way more challenging. You know, it's just one more thing to think about, you know, and that's the last thing you want to do on defense. You know, you don't want to think. You want to just go and play violently and fast. So, you know, you just hope that doesn't, you know, affect players and their violence and their speed. So, you know, personally, it's going to be one of those things where kind of is what it is, you know.
Now, this more of a textile defense. Y'all going to probably have a get-home pot. I know you don't want to – yeah, you know what I mean, get-home pot. put a little something in the pot who get home. I collect. I'm in the locker room.
Devin's shaking
his
head right now.
I know y'all going to have a get home party. Y'all going to be more attack style defense, whatever. So, I mean, y'all probably have a little get home party. It'd be more incentive to get home and make that sack.
Yeah. I mean, hey you ain't we got all trying to get home.
I was just saying, when I was in Pittsburgh, that when we was known as Blitzburg, and they used to have a get home pot. And whoever could get home with the blitz and the stunt or whatever, you know, everybody had a little incentive.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you get a percentage? How would that work?
No, you get the pot. You get the pot.
The whole pot.
Whoever got home the most during the game, they got the pot. Right, yeah. Yeah.
I like that idea. Yeah, we haven't done that.
That was still my idea. Yeah, I want my residual. I want the residual.
You may need to institute that. All right, you'll hang out for one more seg?
Yeah.
All right, 641-1010. You want to hit the text line? We got Devin Lloyd hanging out with us. And look what our GM got for us. These Duval draft caps, they look pretty sweet, don't they, with that brand-new logo. And so we're all fired up 6 days before they make the selection. They have not picked in the teens too often. They had the number one pick, and then they traded back in to get Devin a couple of seasons ago. So we'll keep talking draft with one of your Jacksonville Jaguars coming up.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
Well, let me get one.
Okay, yeah.
Duval! Yeah!
That's what you heard from Devin Lloyd when he was selected in the first round as the Jaguars moved up to get him the second of two first-round picks that year, Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd. We got Devin for one more seg hanging out on XL Primetime. Joe C., Matt Hayes, Big Sirs, Big Leon bringing in a guest to talk some Jaguar football as a former Jag. So remember that night? Do you remember that Duval? That was one of the best Duval cheers I think all of Duval has ever heard.
Yeah, I do remember that night. I mean, that was a long night, but you know, it was just a lot. It was a lot of emotions, obviously a lot of anticipation, and then even, you know, after I got drafted and everything, you know, enjoying that with my family. It was a long day.
Go back before that, and how much contact did you have with Jacksonville, and then how it unfolded right then when everything went down?
Yeah, contact before the draft. There was a meeting at the combine, just like any other meeting. You know, I had like over 20 meetings at the combine, so I really didn't think anything of it, honestly. It was a crazy story. I actually got a backpack from Jacksonville. Every team kind of gives you like something like a notepad or a backpack or whatever. I got one from Jacksonville, and I actually gave it to one of my friends because I was like, okay, I'm not going to need this. Like, there's no way I'm going to Jacksonville. They got the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, full circle, now I'm here, which is wild. Crazy.
Now, Devin, tell the people how – when that year you got drafted, the guys in your class, the brotherhood and fraternity that in your classes. Because when I got drafted in 92, me and LeVon Kirkland, we said to ourselves, now that we're in Pittsburgh, we want to do something special while we're here together. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you and Trayvon being the first-round picks together, have you ever had that discussion like, you know, we want to do something special while we're here?
Absolutely. When we first got here at the end of our first year, you know, we have talks like that, like real – serious talks, even throughout the year. And then, you know, our last one was, you know, after the Tennessee game. I mean, we were just saying, like, you know, first of all, we got to be better. You know, we got to be better. We got to, you know, help this team more. But just having, you know, a real talk, like, you know, we're the foundation. You know, so we got to keep building the right way. And, you know, we got to keep building on top of what we've done. But, yeah, we've definitely had those talks.
Nice.
Do you, in that vein, Devin, do you feel like you can use your voice now more in leadership roles on this team?
Absolutely. That's one thing going into my third year now. I want to embrace, you know, my thoughts and my voice more. Just being heard, I think the first 2 years, you know, I was really just observing. Obviously, we had, you know, good leadership on the team. And so, you know, I was kind of really just, you know, playing my role. But now, you know, going into my third year and even having talks with coaches and guys on the team, you know, I plan on using my voice and, you know, letting it be heard and just trying to uplift the team the right way.
We got a couple questions off the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures that we'll get to. We got Devin Lloyd, first-round draft pick, for a few more minutes talking Jaguar football. If you go out and you say, hey, Jaguars finished 9-8 the last two seasons, most people would think both of them are the same, 9-8. One obviously had a great run. The other one had a real disappointing end. What did Coach Peterson give you guys message wise after the disappointing way the thing ended last year?
Last year it was kind of just shock. I think everyone was shocked, first of all, that the game was done and season was over, you know. So, you know, the message the day after, you know, was a little bit more, I guess you could say, less emotional. It was more so like just seeing it from a different perspective. And, you know, it was still disappointing. It's disappointing no matter how you chop it up. You know, I think we did a lot of good things, but that is not the way that you finish, you know, especially with the talent that we have. So I think it was the message was mainly use this as motivation, use this as fuel going into next season. So use it in your off season, and, you know, make sure this doesn't happen again.
Now, how much of this are you going to take it personally? Because Texans stole your shine. Stole your shine a little bit. They're getting all the attention, all the favorites. You know, I mean, is this a situation where this team is going to take this personally, that they took y'all division?
Well, I think as competitors, any competitor is going to take it personally. Mm-hmm. You know, any competitor is going to, you know, look at obviously where your in-conference rivals are and knowing that's where you should be. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you say it's where you should be, but, you know, you didn't put the right product on film. And so, you know, that's going to sting any competitor, you know, myself, you know, included. And so, you know, you look at obviously the rankings and all that, and, you know, like I said, you got to let it feel you. You know, it is what it is at this point, but a new season is ahead of us, and so we're really just looking forward to that.
Will you watch the draft? And if you do, do you have a preference of where the franchise goes with the pick?
I mean, I trust everybody in the front office. They do way more scouting than I do, obviously. So, you know, I trust who they're going to bring in. I think we have the whole locker room is just full of, you know, great talent and great people. And so I don't expect anything different for this draft. I know they're going to bring in what we need, offensively, defensively, special teams. So I'm just looking forward to see who they pick. Will I watch the draft? Probably not. I'll probably just keep up with who we draft, who our competitors take as well, and then, you know, go from there.
Yeah, it's a different feel for the AFC South. Really, the last year, everything that did happen, and I look forward to great competition with the way that all these teams have been put together. Have you talked to any of the new free agents, guys that have come in? Because you've got a couple of guys, Savage, Darby, those guys on the defensive side. Yeah. What kind of conversations have you had?
Yeah, Sav, Darby, Eric, they've all been cool. Chopped it up with all of them. You know, had pretty good conversations with them. Yeah, I'm looking forward to play with him. You know, I definitely had good talks with Eric, and just him being a vet, you know, it was crazy as he got me. He said he was in San Fran when Colin Kaepernick was there, and I was like, damn, like that's
yeah
you've been in the league for a little minute. So,
AKA, you're old.
I didn't say those words, but yeah, you know, just a guy that, you know, I'm definitely going to lean on, you know, as far as his football mind, looking forward to working with him and chopping ball with him, you know.
Just on the outside looking in, he immediately took a leadership role, at least it felt like, coming in here.
Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a leader naturally, you know, just first of all, his presence being in the league so long. And, you know, as time progresses, you know, I'm sure his voice will be heard. And we haven't really had too many opportunities collectively as a team, you know, where somebody can speak up and stuff like that. But just his presence alone, people are going to respect him. Obviously, he's been on great teams with the 49ers. So, you know, people are going to listen.
The question off the text line, do you know anything about the OG number 33, Greg Jones?
Greg Jones.
So Greg Jones.
Yeah, I've heard the name.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen too much film.
He's still here. He'll probably pop up at some point and see you guys. You know, like some of the vets will be coming back. Mm-hmm. Nick Sirs will be part of draft day coverage next week. But anyway, he wore that 33 fullback position, and he probably still
big man.
Oh my gosh, he probably still could throw up some weight. That's for sure. Definitely a good dude. Do you prefer to rush or drop in coverage? Has been asked on the text line.
Rush.
Yeah, I would think so. I
exactly.
would think so. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You don't want to
yeah.
get worn out being yeah. drug around by a tight end or anybody like
that's
that.
That's like asking a lineman, would you rather run block or pass protect? Run
right.
block.
Yeah. Right. All right, so the defense, everybody's been questioning the defense. It looks like you guys are moving more to an even front, although you'll have some odd stuff. So when you're in the even front, it also looks like the NFL is moving more toward just two linebackers on the field and four DBs, and that fifth DB is kind of like in college you guys call it a star or whatever you call it. But that's
nickel,
kind
yeah.
of what you're doing right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just it's such a pass-heavy league, so you need to have, you know, more people that can cover, more lighter bodies, I guess you could say, quote unquote. But yeah, that's kind of where the league is going right now.
So you guys more than likely have two linebackers on the field.
More than likely, for the most part, yeah.
Like you said, you'll pay attention to the AFC South a little bit and what they do in the draft. What do you think about what you have seen to this point as far as the Texans and Titans and Colts? Have you paid attention in the offseason?
Yeah. Texans obviously made a lot of additions. They quote-unquote got better. Obviously, with every team, you have to put it together and make it work and make it a team. But they got some good players. I know the Titans, they got one of our guys. Nothing but love for Ridd, and I'm glad he got what he deserved. I know that the Titans made some moves as well, and Colts didn't do too much, but they're still a tough team. We got a really good conference. It's gonna be fun to play in. I don't want to be in a conference where you got cake games. I want it to be competitive. I want it to be good ball to watch. I think that's just more exposure for our conference as a whole. So I look forward to that, and I know it's gonna be very competitive this year.
Yeah, believe it or not, I was talking about that just a year ago, because last year everybody had the Jaguars just running away with the division. And I said, it's good that the division is tough, because iron sharpens iron. Because when I was here with Jacksonville, I mean, we had the Ravens, we had the Titans, and we had the Steelers. And with that, you had to pack a lunch and bring your hard head every day.
Yeah.
But it made us tougher and more physical as a team. So we had to elevate our game each and every week. And I think this response from the Jaguars is going to be the same thing. This division, is going to be tough, and we're going to answer the bell.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys need to respond this year, right? I'm sure you guys have talked about it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, every year there's pressure on everybody from top to bottom to go out and perform and, to win, really. But you talk about responding, from finishing the way we did, obviously, last year, and even going back to finishing the way we did 2 years ago to finishing the way we did last year,
right.
You got to respond. So I know everybody's going to be hungry to attack training camp. We're attacking OTAs right now, and, it's one day at a time, even when you get in season. So we're really just attacking every day that we have.
Now, I wanted to ask you that. You were mentioning 2022, 2023. I mean, it was just two differences. What was the difference? Because in 2022, y'all were riding this wave. I mean, y'all were the hot team. Trevor was playing good. Defense was turning it over, and then last year was kind of, you sputtered, you had injuries and all that kind of stuff. Was there a difference in the locker room between the 2 years, like the last half of the season?
That's a question that is really hard to put your foot on. I think everybody's going to have their own theories. You mentioned injuries. Obviously, that plays a part. Everybody's going to be banged up towards the end of the season, so that's never going to be an excuse. It's just hard. That's a tough question to answer, I can't really answer that for you all the way fully.
No, I think I'm just asking. I don't mean to cut you off. I think I'm just asking, what could there have been anybody in that locker room and say, hey, fellas, listen, enough is enough. We're not losing no more games. I mean, was there anybody that was vocal like that in the locker room would say, hey, man, we're not going to tolerate losing no more? I know it had to be the sentiment, but I was just wondering, was there anybody in particular?
We had talks. We had, leaders come up and speak during team meetings towards the end of the year. But I think on a personal level, on Riley the guys, no coaches involved, that leadership aspect was kind of missing, just personally. And, that's why I want to do more too as well. I put a lot of, just pressure on myself, but not even pressure. You point the finger at yourself. It's self-accountability. So, you want to do more to help. You want to do more to lead. And obviously, I know everybody kind of feels the same way. I know Foye's hit on it before. He felt a responsibility, to come back and to give the city what they deserve. And it's the same feeling.
And see, the reason why I asked that, because maybe we had this, I said that, you have done enough and been in the league long enough where you can vote, you can vocalize to certain guys, hey, man, step your game up. But you got to be on point. Because yeah. I just remember the day when LeVon Kirkland that played with the Steelers. I remember the day he became a leader. Now you had a huddle foot of Woodson, Lake, Lloyd, and Green. And I remember him saying, hey man, y'all shut up and get your ass in the huddle. When he did that,
three Hall of Famers.
That's three Hall of Famers. That's what I'm saying. But when he did that, he established himself that he was real and he was about it. He wasn't about what your names were, it was about how we're gonna play ball on this Sunday. So
absolutely.
All right, let's finish it up with a little Utah Utes.
football.
Yeah. Listen, when you got drafted, we had Coach Whittingham on with us, one of the guys that we love to lean on because he is a well-respected cat in the college football world. What do you think about the 12-team playoff and the Utes moving into a different conference?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. You know, I mean, you look at the playoffs and even like last year, you know, there's certain teams that obviously should have been in that weren't in. So I think expanding it is going to be great. I don't know how many extra games we're going to play. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. But I'm at this point, it really doesn't matter. I know teams just want to have their shot at the title. And so really looking forward to Utah and their opportunities to make the playoffs. Obviously, with Coach Witt, you know, leading the helm, you know, I got all the faith in the world in my guys. And then Cam Rising come back. I know he's going to ball. He's going to do his thing. I know he's leading the team just like how he's always led. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Seventh year, by the way.
Seventh year.
Completely healthy, though.
Yes.
And I felt bad for him because he played his fanny off 2 years ago, gets hurt in the bowl game. You're looking at that clock, and you're just like, he just really had a hell of a lot to deal with.
He did. He went through a lot mentally. You know, I know it would get to anybody. I know it got to him. But I know he's in good spirits now, too, as well, and I'm just glad to see him out there, you know, with the smile on his face like he's always had, you know, going out and playing ball.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate you dropping by. You can't leave because Barbecue and everyone else on the text line is asking for a Duval. You got to give that to us before you go. You ready?
All right. Y'all going to do it with me?
Yeah, you ready? All right, 3, 2, 1.
Duval!
All right, thank you, Devin. We appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
That's
appreciate
awesome.
You guys.
It is XL Primetime, a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday. We've got Welcome to Rockville tickets to give away. So when you hear one of those artists crank it up coming back, we'll give out our first set of tickets.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. It's a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday on XL Primetime.
You got a little Foo Fighters working for you right there. Welcome to Rockville. And you definitely can count on some great rock and roll, especially on a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday. So we're hooking you up. Welcome to Rockville. Let's give away. We've got 3 pairs of tickets. And RJ, first pair of tickets to the fourth caller, courtesy of the Foo Fighters, and Welcome to Rockville. You hear another Welcome to Rockville act. We will roll through all of them coming up in just a little bit. But what are they getting, big man? They're getting any one day, right?
Absolutely. So 3 winners, a pair of single-day general admission passes on at Daytona International Speedway for Welcome to Rockville.
Turn it up, man, because this is the Devin Lloyd song.
Take me back to that
off the edge,
rock.
Man. Coming off the edge. That's one of the biggest takeaways from that interview.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had to poke the bear a little bit and ask him to put his hand in the dirt. You know, man, 250, you put your hand in the dirt.
But I could totally visualize a lot of different guys bringing heat and knocking the quarterback down. And even though we said the league was led by a pair of Jaguars with the most quarterback pressures, collectively, the team did not get the quarterback on the ground enough. And and Devin readily admits that, and the team as a whole. I love what he had to say about Ryan Nielsen and some of the different things that you, as a Jaguar fan, should be looking for.
Control chaos. That's what you want, control chaos. You want guys – listen, any offensive lineman's nightmare is that when guys don't stay where they're supposed to stay. When they move, they take angles and slants and – dogs and stunts and all that kind of stuff, because it makes it harder for them to be on the same page. And if you can, you have that kind of control chaos, and I gave him that the get home pot. I know he's going to use it. That's a locker room thing, right?
That's not a bad
idea. Right, get home pot, whatever. So, I mean, the key is you when you can effectively get to the quarterback, get him off his spot, get him confused, get him, you know, get him with the tap dance feet and having to get rid of the ball early. That's what you want your defense to do.
That's what the league is all about now, affecting the quarterback.
Yes.
Get him off his spot. That's – I'm telling you, and I know he was – Devin Lloyd was in a defense that was not catered to his skills. That's number one. And number two, I think you're going to see – the Devin Lloyd that you saw in college this year, the guy that is disruptive because you can move him anywhere along the front seven.
I mean, his
– and he's going to be a problem for people.
His last year, didn't he have like 5 or 6 sacks as a linebacker at Utah?
Maybe more than that.
I thought he had nine, something like that. Yeah, I mean, if you got someone at the linebacker position that can affect the quarterback and get sacks, you got to.
It's not just sacks, too. He's long, man. He knocked balls down, and there's so much more he can do.
Mm-hmm.
He can affect not only the quarterback, but he can affect the passing game, which is what he did in college. That's what – I mean, I coming into the league, if I'm looking at film with him in Utah, the first thing I would say was, all right, I want him to do that. Mm-hmm. What he's doing right there at Utah, that's what I want him to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find a way for him to do that here as easiest way as possible. And instead, it was the complete opposite of what
he did. Yeah, why would you pacify him? I mean, if he was a blitz-style linebacker who could affect the play with sacks and turnovers and batted balls.
That's probably why the guy he
why
was.
Why you got him dropping in coverage?
That is no longer the DC.
I guess so.
Yeah, I feel like if you look at the elements, and this is what we talk about with the – where are they at depth-wise when it comes to the edge rusher? And you could look at the depth chart, 4 down, there's not a lot of depth. But they also will very likely be looking at that in that department in the draft. But at the same time, there's going to be guys, and this goes back to that 4-2-5 alignment that we're talking about, which will keep him on the field, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a 4-3, it may not be a 4-3 very often at all. It'll be a 4-2-5 more often than not. And then in those down and distance situations where, okay, wait a minute, you're not expecting run, it's 3rd and 7 or it's 3rd and 6 plus, whatever it is, then you've got a chance to trigger guys from a lot of different spots.
Oh, like 3rd and 7, I think your front four is going to be Armstead, Trayvon Walker, Josh Allen, and Devin Lloyd. That's your front four and third and seven.
And you got to visualize that now, because even Josh was asked this question when the new contract deal was announced, and he got to the podium talking about whether or not he will go inside. Trayvon's already been asked to go inside.
No, I mean, just on pass situation. Yeah. Trayvon slides in.
He's already been asked to go inside. So you have Eric Armstead and Trayvon, Josh Allen and Devin Lloyd.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, listen, they put Josh Allen inside. You remember how the Cowboys utilized Micah Parsons? They put him inside on guards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guards are not equipped for that kind of speed and talent. I'm just telling you.
Same size player, man.
Exactly. Same size
same
player.
Speed, same
so you've got to be able to utilize Josh Allen not only on the edge, but inside as well. Him on a one on one with a guard, forget about it, bro.
All right. Now, the Jaguars, we don't exactly know what they're going to do with the 17th pick overall, but I know this much. With everything that's been talked about, they got to get it right. There's no question about that. I want you guys to hear just how many different times they have selected in the first round and just how many times they have not necessarily gotten home. Like we're talking about guys getting home and whether or not – just listen to these numbers, all right? And I'm just going to go in reverse order, okay? The number of times that they have picked in the first round last – season 27th overall was the first round pick. Year before that, 1-27. Year before that, 1-25. Then 9-20 in 2020. 7 in 19, which was Josh Allen. 29, which was Taven Bryan. By the way, that's the deepest down the draft board that they've been at in the first round. 29th pick overall, Taven Bryan. 4, Leonard Fournette. 5, Jalen Ramsey. You can go down the line. 3, Dante Fowler. 3, Blake Bortles. 2, Luke Jokel. Everyone says, go get the big man. How'd that work out? 5th, Justin Blackmon. 10th, Blaine Gabbert. Next pick was 76th. They went from 10 to 76 when they traded up to get Blaine Gabbert.
Why would you say you want the big man? How'd that work out? Do you know how many other times it has worked out for other teams?
Let me keep going. 10, Tyson Alualu. The next pick was 74. In 2009, they drafted the 8th pick overall. His name was Eugene Monroe. Another big offensive lineman. 8th overall. Then the year before that, they traded into the 8th spot for Derek Harvey. You go down the line. How many top 10 picks as this team celebrates its 30th year, do you think this team has had? How many top 10 picks?
Top 10?
Just a guess, closest to the pin here.
It's been a lot of bad
mm-hmm.
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. How many top 17. 10 picks? 17 is your guess?
Yeah.
17? 12.
RJ?
I'll go 5.
All right.
We ain't been good at it.
We just rattled off. Ahead. They picked back-to-back number ones. They picked 9. They picked 7. They picked 4, 5, 4, 3, 3, 2, 5, 10, 10. They have 21 top 10 picks. 21.
Saucy nugs.
Yeah, so let's go from the saucies into a little Corona. Here's something cool when you start thinking about 21 top 10 picks. All right, so Corona, this is how we're going to set it up. We're going to see if you guys can call it, get the right number and the right guess, and then we'll celebrate it just like Eli Manning and Carmelo Anthony did when the big shot was hit when they were courtside.
He's going to drain it.
It all comes down to this.
Oh, how did you call that?
Game recognized game.
So let's see if you guys can call it, if game recognizes game. So with 21 top 10 picks, and you got the total of now going into the 30th year, how many times have they picked in the teens, and who did they draft picking in the teens in the first round?
Who did they draft?
Yeah. First round pick in the teens.
In the teens.
Who did they draft, and how many times have they done that?
Teens.
They have 21 so top 10 picks.
13 through 19 is what you're saying.
So they have 21 top 10 picks. You know, Taven Bryan was drafted 29th overall. We know Devin Lloyd was drafted 27th overall. We know Anton Harrison was drafted 27th last year. They have not picked in the teens very often. So how many times and who'd they draft? I got a feeling we're not going to be able to play that sounder again that you called. Game recognizes game.
Come on, Matt Hayes. You got it.
I'm going to say zero. How about that?
Zero is not a bad guess.
And by the way, the two picks after Monroe in that draft, that was the 9 draft, right? Yeah. Alex Mack and Michael Orr were the two offensive linemen picked after that. Yeah. Two pretty good players in the NFL.
Alex Mack and who else?
Michael Orr.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Michael Orr in and out, okay? And by the way,
still better than Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, Eugene Monroe did not get a second contract. He went up to join Michael Orr of Baltimore.
I'm going to go 4 in the teams.
Okay, all right. 0 and 4. If you divide it in half, that's the number. And by the way, we had one of the guys on in James Stewart.
Nah, I knew Little Man was on. I knew he was 19th.
He was picked 19th. The only other guy picked in the teens was Marcus Stroud. Marcus Stroud,
pretty good play.
In 2001, he was drafted. Let me make sure I get this right. 13th overall. Both him and Big John Henderson were picked back-to-back years by TC. John Henderson was 9th, and then it's 2002 for Marcus Stroud. That he was selected, or 2001. Anyway, 13 and 19, the only two times they have picked in the teens, and now this will be the third time, and we'll see if they actually get it right. Let's get into the 3 o'clock hour, start talking a little bit more about that pick and what could happen, where they're maneuvering, but we'll say thanks to Corona as we're counting it down, Cinco de Mayo, and a long Cinco de Mayo weekend where we will be hanging out with you on Cinco de Tres to help kick it off. We'll give you all the details, but don't forget, put a lime in it. Enjoy some cold Corona.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
All right, we're hanging out. Beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm going cruising later on.
Cruising?
Yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, listen, you got the appropriate attire, bro. You I mean,
you're going on a cruise?
On a cruise?
It's going on like a little sunset sail.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Is this in the AUG?
Yeah, it's in the AUG, and I'll tell you guys about it coming back on Monday, but it's one of our dudes that listens to 1010XL. Anyway, it's not mine. It's one of my buddies is throwing a surprise.
Oh, nice. Well, you just told everybody now.
Exactly.
So.
For his who hopefully is not listening.
You know what you need? You need some seersucker pants.
I like the seersuckers, but I'm all about it.
Then you run the risk of everybody in the building telling you don't match. So yeah.
You got to have a splash of color when you step onto the ship.
You're taking the kind of person.
The queen of the building.
He does take a lot of stuff personally.
You look like Crockett from Miami Vice.
Yeah. They got the Miami Vice look going on.
Yeah. This is all good, man.
You and Joe got the Miami Vice look.
That's right. We're Crockett and Tubbs. Just roll with it, man. Do not.
Leon just has the Miami shirt representing.
Stay out of grown folk business.
Yeah, it was funny.
Whatever.
Miami gear is not something that you don't see very often on 1010XL if you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because he'll rock either the
I gotta be honest. I gotta be honest with you.
What cut you the white meat? Man, you don't care what people think. I know better than that. Stop it. I know better than that.
But it's funny that the day that he does wear the U, the other you comes walking in, and Devin Lloyd, because it's different how you guys.
You say it right. The other you.
Yeah,
the
I
other
almost you. Asked him the question. I should have asked him, like, the what was, like, the crazier fan base? Because the Must there, the Mighty Utah student section, is they're, like, nuts.
Yeah.
That's the same group that, you know, when they played BYU and they beat BYU, I was there. What was that, 05 or 06? They kill BYU, like, 52 to 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the signs in the stands as I was walking to the field said, "Where's your God now?" That's the Utah student section,
yeah,
okay?
The Holy War,
so I want to ask him, what was, like, you know, what was the bigger, the more crazy student section? Duval?
Mm-hmm.
The Duval, the Bold City Brigade, or the Mighty Utah students?
Bold City would probably take the top prize in that one, that's for sure. So your Jaguars count it down 6 days until they get it done. But as we said, we have gone through, honestly, a lot of draft capital. PFF put a thing together just going back and taking a look at where teams have been in the draft and how successful they've been. And look, they take a shot at Duval, which is fine. It's deserved because there's been some bad personnel decisions that have been made here.
Mm.
There's been some bad general managers that have been in charge, unfortunately. And you know what else? There's been some players that just haven't panned out. And it was in no way, shape, or form was it the fault of the GM. Was it Gene Smith's fault for drafting Justin Blackmon and then he flamed out? Not really. Was it Tom Coughlin's fault for drafting R.J. Sauer at the end of the first round, hoping that he would be that?
I'm going to push back just a little bit right now. You're talking about two guys that had problems in the past.
Yeah.
And that draft due diligence,
I'll just
which
tell
goes
you this.
Way beyond on the field,
right.
Could have been done, and then you wouldn't have picked those guys.
I'll just tell you this right now. There wasn't a team out there. There was nothing that floated to the top about Justin Blackmon being a concern. Nothing.
Well, there were seven teams that passed on him. When was he picked?
He was
what number?
Fifth. He was fifth overall. Right, so there were only four that passed on him.
All right.
That's a top five pick. Are you kidding me? And so Gene Smith had to be kind of pushed in that direction because you just looked at it and you're like, if you don't pick this wide receiver, you are nuts. He went for it, reached for it. His nickname was Small School Gene. He was always looking for something else. And anyone would have picked Justin Blackmon.
See, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I don't buy that anyone.
Top five pick. Like I said, you covered the college game. Did anything bubble up about Justin Blackmon before?
Sure there were. Yes.
Nah. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. Look, guys, hit us on the text line if you remember it. He had one incident, and it was a very small incident with a DUI, but nothing major. We're not talking about
His problem again?
Like, in other words.
Hang on. What was his problem again?
Drinking.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. So here we go. I love this. Fred Taylor got in trouble more times in college than Justin Blackmon.
Freddie did dumb things.
Freddie got in trouble more times in college than Justin Blackmon. They were both top 10 picks. Which one worked out? Okay. I mean, come on.
At the end of the day, you're dealing with the human condition, too.
Yeah.
Because it's. All these guys have talent. It's what you got between your ears.
I've said it a bunch. How did Gene Smith not find out that there were problems about Justin Blackmon? But nobody said it at the time. Nobody that I can remember. R.J. Sauer, there might not have been as much intel. You've told us back in your day they were following you. They were checking you out. So I think Tom Coughlin with R.J. Sauer, he might have heard concerns about him out in Southern Cal. But probably said, "Hey, we'll get him Duval, and he'll
change him. Yeah,
he'll fall in step with my regiment.
Yes, they all.
And all franchises try to do that. Organizationally, they say we'll put the right people in place around him. We've got enough leadership in the locker room that if he comes here with any issues, we'll help him. But listen, if a guy's got issues in college, and he comes to the NFL with money, you think those issues are going to go away? They're going to be elevated. They're going to escalate. You add issues with money, that's more issues with the money.
Yeah.
Well, somebody on the 50 on the text line, the 5360 says, Matt Jones, Justin Blackmon, every common fan knew there were red flags.
Yeah. Now, I'll go along with Matt Jones, and I'd have to go back, and I'm looking at Matt trying to remember. I do not remember Matt Jones getting in trouble at Arkansas, but what I do remember was the boneheaded decision to take a quarterback and try and turn him into wide receiver and use a first-round pick to do so. That was a horribly bad decision. You can do that in the third round. You can't do that in the first round. And Matt Jones looked like this all-world athlete coming out of Arkansas, going to convert from quarterback to wide receiver, and they fell in love with him, and they went for it. And they went for him before Aaron Rodgers was taken off the board. That's the one – that is a football sin that they let Aaron Rodgers just keep sliding down the draft board, and they reached for a quarterback changing positions in the first round. But I don't remember Matt Jones getting in trouble. I know he got in trouble afterwards.
He was high-maintenance guy.
Yeah. But and do you remember him getting in trouble in college?
Houston Nutt basically just did whatever he could to keep him on the field.
Okay.
Just a high-maintenance guy, that's all. There's a lot of high-maintenance guys in college. Mm-hmm. Some make it to the NFL and some don't.
Right. I would use that to describe Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette was not
100% was high.
Leonard Fournette was a decision that they thought they needed. And look, I looked at Leonard Fournette and said, this guy's going to come in, he's going to immediately produce at the running back position. But there were telltale signs down in Baton Rouge about how he had been coddled and taken care of.
Matt Hayes was telling me that half the time he wouldn't even practice.
No, he wasn't.
He got that directly
from Darius Geiser told me that I would practice, he would start. He said, and I would go – and I would go to coaches and say, what's going on? I'm practicing. He's starting.
Yeah.
Because he just wouldn't practice.
And he would tell the coaches, he ain't practicing.
Yeah, he practicing, right. And which is odd because you would think that that would get out and that someone in that franchise would hear that he doesn't practice.
Right. That's a mystery to me. I don't know how that one didn't get out. So I'll
because if you're going on the list of things you don't want out of your guy you're drafting,
doesn't
like to practice is high on that list. Right. Might even be number one.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have any problem. Like, how in the world did you not find that out? And I know that that probably did bubble up among GM.
I mean, what could be worse, right? Has murdered someone would probably be worse.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Either doesn't care or doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
I guess they're one and the same, really. But it is an endless list of guys. Did you know that Eugene Monroe, as the number 8 pick overall or number 9 pick when he was drafted, that he would just say, you know what, I'd rather smoke pot than play football? I don't know how you know that, but he was not a good top 10 pick. He was not. And so, yeah, they got to get it right this go around, and we all know just how dang difficult it is to get it right every single time. And if you're batting 50, and like we said, if you take a look over this past decade, the Jaguars have picked 12 times in the first round, 7 times in the top 10. So 12 meaning they had those 2 extra number one – actually, 3 extra number one picks that they jumped back in with the Jalen deal and then trading back in to get Devin Lloyd. But they haven't been able to net a whole hell of a lot out of it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they haven't drafted well. They haven't developed well. And that's the reason why they have to go out and spend on free agency, because they missed and developed on those guys that they drafted. Listen, if you miss on – your first 3-round picks or whatever. I mean, I know 4th and 5th is important. You miss on your first 3-round picks year after year after year. And that kills your roster, bro. It kills, absolutely kills your roster. And now you got to go spend money on free agency on the picks that you missed in the draft.
And the following year in the draft, you have to once again redraft. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I was saying about last year's draft. That second and third, both those second and third round picks should have been starters. Mm-hmm. Instead, you take a backup tight end, you take a backup running back. So now what do you got to do this year? Now you're struggling this year because now you need an offensive lineman. Now you need an interior defensive lineman. Now you need a corner. Now you need a receiver.
Right. And let me just compare real quick, just as I'm kind of spinning through this. You take a look at the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills have seen a lot of guys leave. They traded for Stephon Diggs a few years ago. He had Pro Bowl performances up there in Buffalo, caught a bunch of footballs, but now he's gone. Gabe Davis is gone. But if you go back and look at what they've done in the first round, Dalton Kincaid, pretty good. Kyir Elam, question mark. Gregory Rousseau, pretty good. Ed Oliver, pretty good. Josh Allen, how's he working? Tremaine Edwards, Edmonds, pretty good. Tre'Davious White, good until he got hurt.
Really good.
Yeah, and Shaq, not so much. Shaq Lawson, not so much. And so – there's so many different ones that you can go through and take a look. The Indianapolis Colts, AR, we don't quite know exactly how it's all going to work out. Quiddy Pay, good but not great. Quentin Nelson, pretty dang solid. Malik Hooker, just really hurt a bunch. Ryan Kelly, pretty solid but also kind of injury prone. Philip Dorsett, wasted first-round pick. It did not turn out, unfortunately, from the U, did not turn out. Houston Texans. We know that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are working out. Those are rookie of the years on both sides of the ball last year. That's hitting a home run. Nick Caserio. Before that, Derek Stingley Jr.
Go one more step in last year's draft. Go down to 8 picks after Brenton Strange, a guy named Tank Dell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Tank Dell was
wide receiver position of need they needed.
Yeah, second round pick. They easily should have been looking at that one. But I'm just looking at these first round picks. Derek Stingley Jr., Titus Howard, one of the higher drafted offensive linemen. Deshaun Watson, we all know that he was pretty dynamic until he ordered up a bunch of massages and then got shipped out of town. Will Fuller, not a good pick. Kevin Johnson, not necessarily a good pick. And so you can go up and down, man. It is such a crapshoot. It really is. And this team has probably been a little less successful than they'd like to be. That's for sure.
It's paralysis by analysis too, Joe. I mean, it's a fun thing. A friend of mine at College Football News, they do picks every week during the season, and they have five guys who make the picks, and Klucko the Clown, which is a coin flip, and Klucko finishes within the top three every year. It's a coin flip. You could literally do a coin flip for this team drafting in the last 10 years, and I bet it would be better than what it's been.
Well, let me just tell you, I've employed that theory when it comes to picking games and betting. Even the coin will let you down, okay? Even the coin will let you down. You think it can't be that hard. It's one or the other. And one or the other is all you're doing in gambling. In drafting, it's one or the next 45. So it's not easy to do. It is not.
It's not an exact science.
Yeah.
You hit some, you miss some. This, unfortunately, this organization is bad in what? What's bad batting in baseball? 100?
Well, below the Mendoza line is below 200.
Yeah. Below 200. Okay.
Yeah.
What did we say a couple weeks ago? We said if they're in the 40%. I think if you're in the 40%, like if you hit 4 to 5 out of your first round out of every 10 years, you're probably going to be okay. You're not going to be elite.
Yeah, 4 out of 10.
But 4 or 5 out of 10 is going to put you, you know, probably pushing for a playoff spot.
Yeah, but this, if we would go back 10 years of their draft pick, who can we name? You got Josh Ramsey.
Well, we already did this. Like who won the second? Yeah, contract.
But who got the second contract?
Yeah, because if you go back and you take a look at how many starters they have and how many second contract guys they have. It's terrible because the draft that had C.J. Henderson and Kalyvon Chase on, which were two of the top 20 choices. Again, this is not a coin flip. You got all those people to choose from, and you chose two that are no longer with the football team. One was traded away. The other one did not get a second contract. Viska Chenault was your first second-round pick.
Which was like 36, right, or something like that.
Yeah, he was 42nd overall. Okay. And he was a disaster. And then the next guy that got a contract was Devon Hamilton. So he's the only guy out of that group that got a second contract. Ben Bartsch came and went. Josiah Scott, not long. Jack Quarterman will get something. I don't even know if he might have gotten a tender offer at this point. He and Daniel Thomas have had spots on this team for a while now, so I'm not going to discount them. They're good players that came later in the draft. But Shaq was a fourth rounder. Daniel was a fifth rounder. And then after that, you didn't have a hell of a lot. Those guys are gone. You go back to the Josh Allen year. Juwan Taylor was a good player, not a great one, but a good starter for 4 years, gone. Josh Oliver traded away. Quincy Williams let go and now
– all pro.
Yeah, thriving up there in New York. Rock Armstead, not so much. Gardner gave you everything he had, okay? Mississippi mustache, bandana, and all. Jorts, he gave you everything he had as a sixth-round pick. He did more as a sixth-round pick than he should get credit. Arden Key's trying to take credit for building Duval. Gardner Minshew, as a sixth-round pick, did a hell of a lot. Glad to see him out of the division now.
Do you know how bad you have to be at the draft to have three picks in the first 48 and miss on all three of them?
Yeah, well,
you know how bad you have to be?
Again, I'm not done.
I mean, like, not only miss, but miss badly on all three.
Yeah, yeah. And look, there are other examples of other teams that have flamed out like this. It just so happens we drill down on this one on a daily basis. The Taven Bryan draft, not a second contract for Taven. DJ Chark, no. Ronnie Harrison, dealt. Will Richardson, he stuck around for a while, but really didn't do a whole lot. We thought he had a chance to be a little bit better. And then you go down the line, Tanner Lee, Leon J. The only guy, honestly, the bright spot in 2018 is still on this football team, Logan Cook. And that was a seventh-round draft pick, 247.
I'll tell you who keeps getting contracts.
Yeah.
Tyler Shalley keeps getting contracts.
Yeah, he does.
Got another one today.
And he was an undrafted cat. Did he get one today?
Yes.
All right. He was an undrafted cat, and he still sticks around. Cam Robinson, DeJuan Smoot, They were drafted in 2017. They were still part of this team last year. Cam still is. We'll find out what happens with DeJuan. But D.D. Westbrook was a Biletnikoff winner. Mm-hmm. There was a time when this team had, I think this team has had at least three Biletnikoff winners on this roster, and none of them really did a whole hell of a lot. Marquise Lee, Justin Blackmon, and D.D. Westbrook. They were all, I'm almost positive, Biletnikoff winners. You go to the Jaylen draft, Ramsey, Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue. We all know that they were pretty good when they played here. They just didn't last. And Miles lasted the longest of them and did get a second deal. But after that, you had Sheldon Day. You can go down the line with so many guys that just did not pan out. Dante Fowler did not get a second contract. T.J. Yeldon, no. A.J. Cann stuck around here for a while. He was a good third-round starter for a while. All right, it'll drive you crazy if you keep looking at it. All right, let's hit that real quick, RJ, as we keep cranking right here in the 3 o'clock hour.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, Ole Miss picked up a big-time talent in the transfer portal, and Ole Miss lost Quinshon Judkins, one of the best backs, probably the best back in the SEC the last 2 years,
really
over the last
back.
2 years, to Ohio State. And now Ohio State has Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, and that's woo.
Yeah, and Julian Sand.
That's going to be tough for people to deal with. So Ole Miss just added Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. He's a running back from New Mexico. He had 1,200 yards, 17 touchdowns last year. Averaged 6.5 yards a carry at New Mexico. He's a really good player, and that's a playoff level team. Ole Miss that just added a star G5 player to the roster, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what this spring portal is all about. Is a lot of it is going to be the G5 players who thought they wanted to stay and mm-hmm. they've got like a little NIL money. Then all of a sudden, you know, the Power 5 team that needs someone is going to throw some money at them, and then boom, they're gone.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. There's a couple things in the college football world we will touch on before we were done. We got more chances for you to win. Welcome to Rockville. Tickets is coming up. It's right around the corner in the month of May. We'll be telling you all about it, but you got a chance to win another pair of tickets. But first, RJ, something is happening this weekend that you can hook them up with.
Absolutely. Have a pair of tickets to the annual Guns N' Hoses Fight Night at UNF Arena on tomorrow, Saturday, April 20th. Be caller number 4641-1010, and those tickets are yours.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. It's a Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday on XL Primetime.
I love when RJ just opens up the library of rock. A Big Hair Heavy Metal Friday. You got Welcome to Rockville, 150 music artists, 5 stages during the 4-day event. And he's just going for it right now. I love some of that good rock. You'll enjoy all of it at Daytona International Speedway. So what do you say? Let's give away another pair of tickets. These are Welcome to Rockville wristbands. You're going to get a pair of single-day general admission passes. And the event is coming up fast in the month of May down at Daytona International Speedway. So 641-1010, we'll give out another pair of tickets to winner number, caller number 4. You will be our winner, and RJ will get all the information and get you taken care of. Good stuff. Queens of the Stone Age from RJ Saunders. All right. The college world we were just talking about as far as guys, player movement, all the stuff that's going on. We've got some spring football tomorrow. What will Florida State Seminole fans say about DJ Uiagalelei after the scrimmage tomorrow? Because he's DJU.
No, but you nailed that.
DJU up at FSU. I got him down.
You nailed it, man.
I got him down. Listen to this. This is another one I've been working on. Nico. Are you impressed? I got it.
I mean, it depends on what day it is. What it is.
I got it.
Yamalieva?
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be. I don't know what it is.
It's not Nico. It's Nico. Okay? All right. So anyway, what are we going to see from DJU? Because I think if you're looking for the next Jordan Travis when you're up in Tallahassee, RJ, let's make this the 10-10 take with Sonny's, because Florida State fans are hoping they can go right back into the conversation as far as a ACC champion.
Now, Joe C's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
Heading into the weekend, you're probably going to just sit back, relax, recoup. Well, how about not worrying about the cooking. You can head to Sonny's Barbecue this afternoon, over the weekend, any one of your area Sonny's, and enjoy some delicious barbecue. They'll smoke it slow and serve it to you fast. So when you head up to Tallahassee, you might pick up some Sonny's if you're going up to the Garden Goal game. But don't think the DJU is going to instantly make you forget about Jordan Travis. Not the same cat. He is a big, big arm, big body, can move a little bit, doesn't move nearly as much or as well as Jordan Travis. But I do want to see what Mike Norvell can do from a coach, the quarterback type of guy, which is what he is. He develops quarterbacks, and see what he can do with DJU. They got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the football. They've got a fair amount of good players that they're going to have to replace on the offensive side. So we'll see what they do. That's the 10-10 take. Do not think DJU is going to instantly make you forget about number 13. No way, no how.
See, here's what I'm interested in Leon's take on this too, but here's the way I look at this thing. That, you know, the plays that you saw Jordan make the last 2 years, and I'm not even just talking about the zone read stuff with his legs. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when he would get outside the pocket off schedule and make accurate throws.
Mm-hmm.
That is not happening with DJ Uiagalelei. They're not the same player. So I think you're going to see a more – I don't even know how to say this. I guess the best way to say it is you're going to see an offense that isn't nearly as varied as what they've had in the last couple of years with Jordan Travis, because DJ mm-hmm. can't do the things that Jordan Travis could do.
Right.
He's not gonna throw accurately on the run. Mm-hmm. He's not gonna be a guy that can shift and move around in the pocket and find more time. He lumbers. He's a big dude. So I think that's what Florida State fans will probably take that away. They're going to be like, all right, well, this is a little different. Doesn't mean they can't win. They won't win. All I'm telling you, it's going to be a different type of game. Right.
But do you remember Jordan Travis not being such a hot thrower before Mike Norvell got there? And that might be the same thing with DJ.
Well, he had to develop on Mike Norvell as a
he
thrower.
Did, but
he was kind of raw, wasn't he?
Right, but I guess my point is, now people can say, well, DJ is an athlete. They're not the same athletes, believe me.
That's 100%.
They're like diametrically different as far as athletic ability. That's what I mean by that. I mean, it doesn't mean that DJU can't get first downs with his legs, because he can. He'll be a guy that can push the pile in short yardage.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is he's not going to be a guy who gets outside the pocket and throws accurately. He's just not. He hasn't been his entire career. I don't know why you would expect it now.
Mm. Okay. Well, I mean – he wants to stay in the pocket. He wants to throw the ball.
He does.
Right. Okay. Well.
And if they can protect him, then that's great. If he can get the snap, get back there, get set, get framed, and they has time to throw the ball,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think he'd be a very good player for them.
But, yeah, because what frustrated me watching Jordan Travis last year is that those plays that he did on his own, those off script. Running to the left or running to the right. He would either make a dynamic throw down the field, or his legs would kill you at some capacity.
Staying the play one way or the other, he would kill them. Yes. That was the best thing they had going for them. And look, you know, everybody always says, well, what happened with DJ from his freshman season when he played those two games for Trevor to now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a great offensive line at Clemson in Trevor's last year there. So that's one of the reasons why he looked so good when they went to South Bend and they lost that game, but he played really well.
Right.
Because the offensive line protected him. He could stand back there and stay framed and throw the ball. But if you can't protect him, it's like any quarterback. There's going to be problems.
Running for your life. And Florida State sent quite a few double-digit guys to the combine. That's how many guys are exiting Tallahassee, heading out of on I-10. So they got a lot of guys they have to replace. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, skill position players, between the Trey Bensons, the Keon Colemans, the Jared Verses. You can go on and on and on with what they are not going to have back. And so there's a lot that they have to replace. But at the same time, he's done a pretty good job in that portal.
Yeah, I mean, what was concerning for me for Florida State is that game against Georgia a byproduct of what they have moving forward into the season?
That would scare you a little bit, wouldn't it?
I'm just asking because, you know, the excuse that you get from Florida State is like, well, we didn't have 22, 25 players at that game, and that's the reason why we're
– And they're all the players that moved
on. And that's what I'm saying. So
and
all
the
opt-outs. Yeah, and the opt-outs. So I'm saying that byproduct of that game, that 63-3 loss in the Orange Bowl, I mean, you had to hit the portal and develop some of these guys this spring.
I mean, they have dudes.
Yeah, I know they had. Well, they got the five dudes from Alabama,
right? Yeah, Williams is a good
player. That was also –
That was
Sean Murphy's a good player.
Mm-hmm. That was a product of going down to their third quarterback too, and they just said, let's just wrap this up.
No, I mean it definitely wasn't. But I mean, Earl Little could be a terrific corner. He just couldn't get on the field at Alabama last year. I mean, Malik Benson also could be a terrific player for them. He was a guy that when Alabama signed him, he was going to start immediately.
Right.
So there are guys there. They've picked up guys that can be good players. I think when you're looking at it, you think, all right, well, at the very least, you've got to say, all right, Mike Norvell has a very good track record of assimilating these guys into the program very quickly, and they play well very quickly. Grady Kelly's another guy, defensive lineman from Colorado State.
Mm-hmm.
So there are guys there, so they've got guys. Mm-hmm. You don't automatically say, and I agree with you, Leanne, that's the first thing I thought of, is, well, that's basically the same team that's on the field against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But they've added guys. Now the only question is, can they continue to be guys that can just assimilate quickly and have an impact?
Yeah, and I don't know whether they're going to be able to do it there or not, but that's the thing that they're expecting, because once you arrive, they expect you to stay. That's just usually how it goes, whereas Mario's Miami and Billy's Gainesville, they haven't arrived yet, so they're trying to get there.
Well, they also haven't proven that they can use the portal and get guys from the portal and they play well for them.
Yeah.
That's the difference, I think, with Florida State and then Florida and Miami. Shaytree's kid couldn't get on the field at Georgia because there's just too many good guys in that defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Maybe he becomes a guy that develops at Florida State. So, again, I think you got to go with Mike Norvell's track record until proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is definitely, and he's done better on the recruiting side, blending with the transfer portal. That's that hybrid ranking that you're looking at now, how many guys you're bringing in from the portal, how many guys you're bringing in. All right, let's stay on college football with a little of that right now, RJ.
That just happened. Brought to you by Florida Home AC, the official air conditioning partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So we've been talking about this for a while. We knew it was coming. It's official. Came out earlier. 2-minute warning and helmet communication is officially coming to college football. That's why Jim Harbaugh left, because he was stealing signs and he had the guy on the side filming and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Now they got the helmet communication. Not going to have that upper hand anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to have that upper hand. But they're NFL-ing it up a little bit with the 2-minute warning, which is another commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
Another
break. No, there's no commercial. That's
no,
one,
no commercial?
That's the one thing they're saying. That
oh,
that
I
does
don't,
not
I'm
mean,
shocked.
That does not, that's the one thing they made very clear.
Just
because it's a 2-minute warning doesn't mean there will be a media timeout.
Okay, you know what? That's BS, okay? Just because doesn't mean there will be. It's not telling you there won't be. Okay?
No. What they're saying is it's going to be a 2-minute warning. The clock will stop. But that doesn't mean it's immediate. In other words, they're not going to commercial. It's not a media timeout.
Yeah. Well, they're going to take the commercial somewhere else. You know that.
I don't know. But the more important rule, I mean, those are both great
the helmet
rules.
Helmet communication.
They're great rules. Teams are also now allowed to have 18 tablets on the sideline, which is huge. The video tablets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's immediately seeing what's going on in the field and what's wrong. And you have a coach standing right over your shoulder saying, no, this is what I'm talking about, right here, right here, right here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, well, yeah, that's huge, the 18 tablets on the sideline.
This name as well change all the other rules, too. I mean, I hate the rule if they fall down, they down. I hate that rule, absolutely.
They're not changing that.
Well, why not?
They should change to 1 foot and bounce, too.
Yeah, I'm talking about if you're going to have one, you should make it 2 feet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely, 2 feet. And a player that slips down on the ground and he's down, come on, bro.
If you're going to earn that media rights revenue in a year or two,
yeah,
when it finally goes, the whole thing should be NFL.
Absolutely,
point.
It is.
Rules and everything.
Well, it's the way you prepare them. I actually don't mind the 1 foot versus two because it's, quote, less than the NFL, and that's the way I'd always look at it.
Mm.
But you are correct that if you're going to get ready for the NFL, do it the way the NFL does it. I never, ever liked this knee was down, play stops. That's some serious BS.
Look,
pretty soon, the only thing that's going to be different about the NFL and college, honestly, is bands.
Yeah.
Bands and mascots. That's pretty much it.
Hmm.
No, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's going to be the difference.
Yeah.
When you score in college football, you strike out the band. When you score in the NFL, it's, you know, doing a dance in the end zone.
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, both of them are good. They better not take away the marching band.
They're not taking away.
They better not take that away. It's XL Primetime.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. It's a big hair, heavy metal Friday on XL Primetime.
You know what they do at Welcome to Rockville? They mix some good old rock and roll with some slam bands, with a lot of different alternative rock, and they put it all together. And you go back in time with a little Judas Priest. So we have got our last set of tickets. Welcome to Rockville with an incredible lineup. Welcome to Rockville Festival down at Daytona International Speedway, and you will have so many of them. How old are we talking? How old?
That's Rob Halford. And if you guys aren't driving, if you're just at your desk, just do a Google search for Rob Halford. He's the lead singer for Judas Priest.
Yeah.
He's 72. He looks like he's 92. And I might pay to go see that, actually, just to see
yeah.
it.
Well, it's funny because you pull in so many different either genres or eras or whatever it might be, but you're going to go from Motley Crue to Judas Priest to Anthrax on Thursday. Limp Bizkit, Falling in Reverse in this moment on Friday. Saturday, the Foo Fighters, Greta Van Fleet, Primus, Slipknot, Breaking Benjamin, Architects on Sunday. So many good bands. Plenty more because you've got Jelly Roll, Disturbed, so many other ones. All right, so the last.
I thought Jelly Roll was country.
Yeah, but he'll come down there. He's a big draw, dude. The Offspring.
But he is a country singer.
He started out doing like more rap and rock, and then went into country.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, Jelly Roll will be down there.
Jelly Roll.
There's just so many good bands. You could just keep going on and on and on. But 641-1010, caller number 4. Last set of tickets. Good one-day general admission passes. You can go to Welcome to Rockville, their site. Check everything out. But it'll be coming up in May down at Daytona International Speedway. Let me see the date. May 9th through the 12th.
What'd you think of that picture of Rob Halford I showed you?
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to say
it. All right. Now, we got to get to the 17th pick as we keep counting it down. We're going to get to, what year are we at? 2019, RJ? Is that right? 2019, let's hit it. As we count down the 17th pick for the last 17 years, getting ready for the Jaguars to pick 17th coming up Thursday night.
With the 17th pick of the 2019 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Dexter Lawrence, defensive tackle, Clemson.
And with that pick, ladies and gentlemen, Dexter makes three, joining North Carolina State in 2006 as the only time we've had one school deliver three first-rounders from the defensive line.
Mayfield back to throw, chased by Dexter Lawrence to the sideline, and he's knocked out of bounds short. Boy, Dexter Lawrence showed some wheels.
He sure did.
342 pounds.
So you heard what they said. Three defensive linemen in the first round. Coming all from the same team. That was 2019. And this is where I get to remind everybody that you got the right guy at the top of the draft when Josh Allen was selected 7th overall, because one of those other guys that was part of that battery of talent that Clemson had, you had Christian Wilkins inside, and then you had Cleveland Farrell, another guy that was coming off the edge. And thankfully, Mike Mayock and the then Oakland Raiders selected Cleveland Farrell 4th overall in your Jacksonville Jaguars after Danny Jones went to the Giants, got Josh Allen 7th in the first round of that
Would
selection.
You take a Dexter Lawrence type interior defensive lineman at 17 this year?
Yeah, I like the idea of that interior lineman. I know Eric
Armstead.
Yeah,
he fell a little bit
here.
By the way.
Hmm?
Dexter Lawrence fell a little bit that year.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay,
he was supposed to be like a top 10 pick.
Okay, where did Christian Wilkins go? Was he around 12 or 13? Does that sound right?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah, 11. I think he was 11.
Yeah, because those guys, all three of them, were so highly regarded. I like the idea of – I don't want
13.
To – 13? 13, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to necessarily say that's one of the gaping holes, because if Devon Hamilton comes back healthy and Eric Armstead – proves to remain a good player, then yeah, you definitely would like to rely on them. But you need to restore that position. You need to take a look and see what you can do to have that next big body inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, he'll be a good rotational guy. Yeah. You know, I love the defensive front guys that can not only stop the run but rush the passer. Mm-hmm. You know, three down type of guys where you don't have to take them down on third down in long situations. Yeah, if you can have that kind of flexibility, you're good to go. Matt Hayes is over there.
I'm just trying to keep him in the conversation. he's over there, off to the side, doing whatever it is he's doing by himself.
So I'm just texting Dave Campbell and saying, yo, bro, I hope you're having – you know, he's got a little dentist work getting done.
Yeah.
So he's going to miss the next show. And I'm just saying, hey, I hope everything's good. And he sends back a picture of, you know, the problem. It's good.
I know, but we're trying to keep you in this as opposed to that. Okay, and we do miss him, that's for sure. There's no question about it, but I've got to see that coming up in just a second. I get to keep you right here until the show is done. But getting that guy, the interior man in the middle, because we have said it so many times, you collapse the pocket with big bodies like that, and you got to have big bodies of your own to protect the middle and protect your quarterback. Both of them. And this team did not fare well on either front. They didn't protect their quarterback because their interior started to break down, and they didn't do anything to affect the quarterback from the other side.
Yeah, but Leon, do you take that? Do you? I think there only going to be one guy who's probably worth it at 17. That'd be Byron Murphy from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd take Braden Fitz that high.
Oh, I would not. No.
He's only got a second round grade, right?
Yeah. He's got a late.
I mean, I love his motor. But while I was watching,
I don't know what I would take
at the Senior Bowl. He was getting moved, bro.
And shorter arms and all that stuff, which they worry about.
I mean, but, you know, in the second round, I think that's a quality.
I don't want to get crazy about the hand size and all that stuff, but short arms for a defensive lineman is kind of a big deal, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Especially if you got a lineman that got long arms.
Mm-hmm.
You hit him and he can't grab nothing. I mean, it's
You know what I love about him?
What's that?
That motor, bro.
He has a great motor. Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, he has a great motor.
Yeah, I think that's why he's going to be a successful pro. I don't know if he's going to be like a dominant guy.
Okay, but the other thing.
I think he'll be a successful pro.
The other thing that should worry a little bit about Byron Murphy, and I'm not saying he's – I like him. I like him. I've mocked him a few times and picked him at 17. But Tavondre Sweat is right next to him.
Big man.
So that's one dude living off – both of them prospered by having the other guy next to him. And I know that might be the case in the NFL, but at the same time, you don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't even make the same comparison because I was going to say Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, before he even was eligible, was better than Jordan Davis.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? But
Jordan Davis was a great player.
He was a great player, absolutely a great player, but I knew the guy next to him was way better, whatever. But, no, you could be a benefactor of a guy, you know, a bigger guy playing next to you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he held his own, though. Absolutely. He held his own. If you watch tape on, he held his own in the pass rush and the running game. I mean, taking them that high with the D-line class, which is kind of what? It's kind of lukewarm
this year.
Interior D-line is kind of lukewarm this year. If you're going to go pick him at 17, he's got to be impactful. Can't miss on that. He's got to play. And he's got to be effective.
And that's the only reason I'm a little worried about. Yeah. And the reason why Murphy might be propped up a little bit is because it is a thin interior defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can make that argument. I think you can make that argument.
And I want that position to be addressed. I'm not necessarily sure it needs to be addressed with that 17th pick overall. But look, we're probably going to be all over the map by the time we get to next Thursday. But if Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson thinks there's a deep receiver class and a deep secondary class, where are they going to go in the first round? If they think they can get a good wide receiver in the second or third round, a combination of a good wide receiver and a good defensive back in the second, third
I'll
round.
I'll tell you where they're going.
Where are they
going
to go? That's lineman.
That's where they're going.
I tell you my big three. All I want is a lineman, a DB, and a wide receiver, and some capacity in the first three picks.
Right.
So I want them. If they can hit on all three of those, I would prefer a lineman first.
And you want a lineman, corner, and receiver?
There you go.
I think that's probably what they're going to do, actually.
Yeah.
All right. We are out. We are done. We had a great time. Thanks for hanging out with us on YouTube. If you're just rolling around Duval, listen to us at work, wherever it might be. We appreciate it. If you missed some of the show, just go on demand. You can download XL Primetime. And we're going to end our show like we always do on a Friday with Big John. And, you know, enjoy the weekend with a little Big Hair Anthem as we head into it. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sirs, and RJ, you got the Frangie Show on the way.
Come on, Joe. That ain't good enough. You got to suck the blood out of my mouth. Let's go, baby. Whoa! This is our song.